Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
science demonstrations that have in the box. Introduction. We explore some science demonstrations that use smart electronics so they can respond to students and also connect to the internet. They take traditional demonstrations a small step in the direction of social robots. To give this all a label, we call it expert in the box. How likely is it that by the year 2040 high school science teachers will have access to a repertoire of these lessons housed in plastic boxes? To find the answer to this question, we have road-tested three prototype boxes for selected scenarios that we reason might well unfold not in today's classrooms but that of 2040. As a reasonable objective, we've assumed that students of 2040 would have a more instinctive understanding of quantum mechanics than shown by current students. Whether we might be developing a new process for teaching or planning a new cake for a restaurant, some of the considerations remain the same. What ingredients are we going to need? What do people currently consume? Customers have expectations, but what is the history that has transpired thus far, and what is their thinking that makes them care about those expectations? How can we craft this new solution to be the natural replacement for what has gone before? If you contrast today's world with life at the time of the pyramids, 2560 BCE, it is not hard to find dramatic differences. Today we take for granted aeroplanes, hospitals, and weather forecasting. These are just some areas for consideration, but you could think of many others. Almost any modern endeavor utilizes the expertise of highly skilled professionals, pilots, doctors, and meteorologists, to name but a few. They are not born skilled but acquire their capabilities through specialist training later in life. However, to have the tools to process and assimilate training, they first need to gain a general education. This in turn means they need to encounter the essential education trifecta, namely, skilled teachers using the right tools applied to the right content. In this paper, we consider the proposition that smart demonstrations, think being hooked up to a smartphone's components, can improve the odds of this trifecta. Will smart electronics make demonstrations tools that can competently deliver their content, even in the hands of less expert teachers? Is it hype, or do the three prototypes we have developed suggest a credible path forward? There are many things you would have needed to teach the pilots, doctors, and meteorologists of the 1920s that might also be still applicable in 2020. However, there are some skills vital for 1920 that, although interesting, are no longer relevant. For example, how to exit the cockpit and walk out on the wing to fix an engine whilst flying, how to amputate infected limbs, or interpret cloud shapes. Asking why this might be the case, we find that a lot of progress has come from managing the flow of information from electronic sensors through computers. Perhaps, it could be argued that the teaching profession is somehow a fundamentally different endeavor. Perhaps smart technology will have a role more at the margins, but the core flow of information into the student's head will remain the same? Perhaps the best we can do is the textbook explanations that are made obvious and concise at the cost of putting in place a few seemingly harmless misconceptions? Maybe we are locked into explanations throttled by the teacher's limited understanding? Perhaps. In this paper, we propose a teacher bypass. We consider hitting the pause button on stream of consciousness simplifications. With smart electronics running the demonstration, they will, figuratively speaking, hit their own play button and channel expert explanations directly to students. We aim for an educational interaction that develops concepts that have been expertly simplified. The students still pass the next test, but care is taken not to inadvertently transmit misconceptions. In computer parlance, students don't download virus explanations that will eventually cause their cognitive operating system to crash. Passing comment on this malady, Einstein said, "Simplify as much as possible, but not further." Motivation. If you had a great aeronautical or medical breakthrough, perhaps you would be ill-advised to burst into a busy cockpit or operating theater and argue your case. Classroom teaching can be envisioned as a crew in a cockpit navigating knowledge space or some kind of cognitive operating theater. In all these scenarios, you are witnessing experts acting out rehearsed procedures. You would be well advised that, having understood the perspective benefits of your breakthrough, to pause and observe the experts at work. What is the language and thinking that they use? What is actually happening? To conceptualize what is going on in education, you can imagine it as a massive airport where the planes don't actually take off. Students board the aircraft, they are drilled in emergency procedures, the plane taxis and returns to the terminal. There are brochures of the holiday resort at Quantum Mechanics. The reality of this destination is empty streets with tumbleweeds blowing through. There have been no arrivals for quite some time now. You will find, looking deeply into education, there is no one in charge. This is also true of science, but there is a keen awareness of this. Experiments are designed to listen to nature. Scientific candor, peer review, and an open-source culture are just some of the self-regulating behaviors. It is not at all surprising to a scientist that you would produce a prototype. If not one, then three might be necessary. In science, you make your case to nature for all to see. In education, good and bad ideas sing out for attention. This generates a lot of background noise. Using the airport analogy, there is a large measure of tuning out and focusing on the departure board and reasoning that what may be proposed is not appearing in the immediate time frame. With no one identifiable in charge, you will encounter different groups. One group is the educational passengers known as students. It is important to get feedback from them. Some may be in the departure lounge, looking out the window watching the prototypes on the tarmac. Overhearing their comments guides the next iterations. Another group is the teachers, and their response has been diverse. Some of the input is framed in terms of the current way of doing things. In this respect, they are not unlike taxi drivers with their initial response to Uber, or those in traditional print responding to Facebook. The wisdom of hindsight is that the technology alone is not the last word on change. The technology must work and be cost-effective, but there is also a key behavioral dimension to consider. The customer thinks differently, behaves differently, and the technology is just an enabler. Initially, all focus is on the gadgets and the clever advances, but at the end of the day, customers say, "I can send a parcel by Uber or update my status on Facebook." In this case, it might be, "I can follow more explanations." The practical teacher's questions reduce to three queries: is there a specific example where it does something better? Why would you want to use it? Is there going to be some hidden price catch? A student experiencing expert in the box demonstrations will understand that the majority of chemical elements are more stable with an extra electron. The negative ion is more stable than the neutral atom for most elements. They will develop a more quantum mechanical view of the electron. The school view using electrons that you can draw as a dot on the blackboard is unstable. It is an equivalent situation to seeing 2D cartoon pictures of tables and then going on to build them in real life with only two legs. A two-legged table is unstable. Having addressed the first gatekeeping question of if there is some critical feature that the expert in the box delivers, we come to the second question: why would you want to use this technique? What is the core motivating difference? As a starting point, we could say our response to our environment is guided by our senses and what we imagine. Imagination allows us to run virtual simulations of senses, and in our mind rewind the tape so we take the appropriate next step. By way of explanation, you could imagine the taste of a roast dinner, and then imagine the steps leading up to that point and use this as a blueprint or manifest of actions required to put the roast in the baking pan and turn on the oven hours before you have arranged for your friends to arrive, having earlier communicated your imaginings to them. What we are saying is that we want to move beyond this starting point of running simulations of our senses. Education develops the student's imagination through training. This is seen most clearly in written exams that stimulate the student's imagination, and we monitor the responses. What we claim, as the fundamental reason for use of expert in the box, is that it manages imagination-sensitive explanations that relate to what is intelligible but not imaginable. Let us walk through education as it reaches its high water mark in building a student's imaginative capacity. If you imagine educators as pilots at the controls of some form of cockpit, the speed increases until there is vibration and warning lights appear. In this context, we will recommend switching on expert in a box and traveling at higher speed rather than dropping to slower speed. At the lowest level, we may consider teaching how to bake a cake. For this, there are many direct sensory experiences students mentally replay or imagine guiding their practice in the kitchen. They physically weigh the ingredients and mix them. The next level deals with things that are not imaginable but intelligible. How about buying the ingredients with money? Money has no weight, it is abstract. It is a social construct, a collective illusion. It has consequences, you can go to jail if you steal it. It is teachable by association of things that can be imagined linked to that which is intelligible. So far, education is doing well. In the next level, we look at some of the abstract tools used in cooking. We use numbers to count the number of eggs used. The numbers themselves don't weigh anything, and like money, they have an agreed meaning. similar to money that are abstract intelligible, but education has a link with what can be imagined, save for a special class of imaginary numbers, the square root of minus 1. We are not helped here by the name because real numbers can be linked to what we can imagine, whereas imaginary numbers cannot be imagined. So if real numbers can be imagined, then not real numbers can't be imagined. Needless to say, this is a high water mark that many teachers chuckle a bit at and avoid. It is unfortunate then that in the 1920s we discovered that atoms, for example cake atoms, have no moving parts yet are described by complex numbers that rotate with time. No part of an atom has any surfaces. Electrons fill the atom like genies in a bottle. In fact, what is really needed is not imagining that which is unimaginable. This was the key breakthrough of quantum mechanics, but unfortunately schools didn't get the memo. So in answer to the second question is that you would want to use expert in a box so you don't unteach quantum mechanics. The third practical question relates to cost. Although teachers would not say this directly, they know a friend who would insist on this being free, and further actually be much cheaper than having the traditional demonstration piled in a box.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.